So then we'll be able then also to have much more deeper understanding of the plan of the department, with all the challenges we have, but also with the obligations that we must deal with. It's the Copenhagen Accord, we are part of that. So we must then see out of this strategic plan as to how then take over and make sure that we can implement some of the commitment that the president made in Copenhagen with the Minister of Water and Environment, together then with the team that was the team SA in Copenhagen, including our DG was participated in this and some of the staff that was from the Department of Energy, including all the departments that are part of the negotiation team. And we're also part of the lobby team to lobby other parliamentarians and make sure that we can get a political binding agreement, but we're not able, we hope for Mexico to see the demand to do that. But moreover, next year is COP17. We'll be hosting COP17 in South Africa. So part of the deliberations of the COP conference, they have to see what that country's projects are in terms of renewable energy, what is existing, and what is it that they will do in the future. So this department then is having a very, very, very important role to play in terms of rolling out a lot of what we talk about last year, and also we'll be here today here to what is the other way to do, because we must take those delegates, which are more than in Copenhagen. There was a program that 15 of members, yeah, there were many people there that were over and above the normal conference, 20,000, 30,000, whatever, there were lots of people there, and including NGOs and others. So we must take them all these different project that we have, what is it that we can point out as the renewable energy initiatives in the country that we have done. So it is quite a challenge, and I hope that the minister team, minister, will be able to tell us that today as to what is going forward. Things that are tangible that we can do, don't promise us things that cannot be. Once you really hear from yourself, what is it that we can do. So that is part of the objectives of what we are all about. And we know each other, I think, from the content-based workshop last year, but I see there are some faces that we don't know. I'm not too many of you. You'd like us just to do a round of put on for us to know who's in here. Okay. That's okay. Every time saying there are more different staff than members of the political committee, but 14 members of the political committee in terms of the after the election. So three of them, I think, are on the committee, the ad hoc committee. And we've got one that is off-peak, whatever, there's already four there. So we are about four members or five members. But we have 7 here. That's right. Yeah. 7. We hope that we'll join like 2 or 1. But that's what I was going to do. Can we start with the... Just the name and your portfolio. Thank you very much. We do have good food here. I think we are missing Nelson. Minister, or both the brunt of the economic recession are protected from the rising electricity prices. You would know that already the organized labor has indicated that they are not satisfied with the tariff increase that has been determined by NERSA during this process of the NYPD2, and that they will be taking to the streets. That is something that we know is definitely going to affect quite a number of the operations of our government and our economic environment, and we need to be tracking this with energy and seriousness. We know that the labor unions are actually indicating that the tariffs as determined, despite the fact that the poorest of the poor have realized a decrease, is going to be a burden on job creation, it is going to be a burden on the, in particular, the middle income group. We know that it is going to be a bit of a challenge, but we know that there was no other alternative that NERSA had to deal with other than to come up with a particular framework within which the increases within ESCOM could be realized. Ladies and gentlemen, the IMC on energy has a number of working groups, and I believe that DG in her input would refer to that, which is actually mandated to look at various aspects of the statements that the President has released here or has indicated. But over and above that, there would be issues related to the energy mix, which in particular we're focusing with the renewable energies, the space for renewable energy, as well as the space for another base load in the nuclear field. We know that out there in our communities, there's already an outcry about nuclear. The NGOs have gone out to mobilize against nuclear as a base load. And you would know, Chairperson, as someone who participated in the Copenhagen climate change UN environmental program, you would know that there's been a call for us to actually diversify our energy mix to be able to work against climate change imperatives, in particular with the challenges that we have seen happening in our world so far. We are also saying as government and as a department, we have been entrusted with the responsibility to make sure that within this particular year, we can realize our objective of bringing in solar, wind, energy, as well as biomass. The processes have started, but we will be able to give the details in the presentation. We'll also have to indicate what it is that we're going to make sure that to make sure that we intensify our energy efficiency program, as well as the energy efficiency campaign that we need to launch and make possible that all of us participate in initiatives to save electricity and energy. We also spoke about the need, Chairperson, to increase the participation or the uptake of LPG gas in the household, especially, so as to make it possible that we can diversify our energy sources at the household level. The other thing that we have to deal with in this particular year, Chairperson, is the issue of the review of the liquid fuels charter. Improving our country's refining capacity, making it possible that we can complete the multi-product pipeline to meet the inland demand. Chairperson, you also know that in the meetings that we have had in the past, we have indicated that if we are not going to take the issues of the regional electricity distribution services seriously, we need to be able to indicate to ourselves and to the country and the world what is it that we are going to do about the decaying infrastructure that we have in our communities in relation to distribution of electricity. We've got a big challenge of the 17th Constitutional Amendment Bill that is still before Parliament that we need to deal with within this particular financial year. We also have the issues related to the National Strategic Fuels Policy, like I indicated, the review of the liquid fuels industry charter, so as to make it possible that we can allow for the participation of the previously disadvantaged individuals in this particular space. We also need to develop a comprehensive integrated energy plan to provide an inclusive energy plan for the country. The finalization of the IRP2 particularly with focus on the nuclear energy expansion program. The other thing is the strengthening of our regulatory bodies, especially NERSA and LNR, supporting ESCOM and government in its growth program, attaining universal access by 2012 and 2014, like we indicated. That unfortunately, for us to realize the universal access for all households by 2012, we need to do a thorough investigation this year on our capacity as a department to deliver on that particular mandate, but also our capacity as a country to make it possible that by 2014 we've got universal access across the board. We also need to intensify, like I indicated, our energy efficiency campaign and decide the demand of management. We also would be taking through Parliament in this year the Electricity Regulation Act, a second amendment bill, as well as the Independent Systems of Market Operator Bill. So we know that the department will, for lack of a better word, say, but I'm going with that card. So every now and then they will be before the committee because they'll have to come and present this particular bill to you. One of the key areas that we want to also focus on, especially on the Electricity Regulation Act, is the issue related to electricity theft. You would know that through the media we've seen how people have done illegal connections and could justify why they are going to continue with illegal connections, especially with the increasing of the tariff. But I just want to indicate that the other big challenge that we have is in the judicial system, where electricity theft is not regarded as economic sabotage or even a heavy weight so as to be able to justify a conviction. I believe that this year, 10% is going to be a short year and a busy year, and it means that all of us will then have to be able to make it possible that we can respond appropriately. Without wasting time, 10%, I believe that the DC would make further input in relation to the actual details of what the department will be doing.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Minister. I don't like to interpret what she said. She said it's quite eloquent. We hope that all what Minister said will be joined by another member. But because it's just to present our introduction, go back. So I'm sure maybe we can figure out opportunity to do as well.
I'm Eric Lucas, member of the committee.
Okay. In terms of the program, we are supposed now to move to the next presentation, which is by the Director General, Uwune Matubaki. Thank you very much, Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee, colleagues from the SOE, and my colleagues in the department. Thank you very much. Can I request that you put up the light, please? Thank you very much. This is going to be the structure of the presentation. I'm going to cover the issues at quite high level, issues that indicate what informed our strategic plan, and a broad brush on the various programs that are going to be presented by my colleagues later on, and then I will close. Now, if we go to the presentation, the big question was what informed our strategic plan. So we had to look at the number of issues that informed our strategic plan. That includes, among others, the government priorities. I'll go point by point in detail what are we referring to. the State of the Nation address by the President of the Republic. The National Budget vote speech by Minister Gordon. And also the issues that came from Minister Peter's budget vote speech last year. And also the issues on the 2010 cabinet, the social revolution, cluster priorities, and also sector specific challenges. So all these issues are going to be the issues that inform our strategic plan. And coincidentally, all those issues, there is a resonance, or rather a thread going through all of them, which is, in short, energy security. Now, if I can just go into detail on the government priority. Chairperson, Minister, and members of the portfolio committee will remember that government adopted the following priorities, which include creation of decent work and sustaining livelihoods, education, health, rural development, like food security and land reform, the fight against crime and corruption. And again, members will realize that in each and every one of those government priorities, energy is key. It's actually an enabler to make sure that those government priorities are actually able to be achieved. So hence, therefore, it's important for us to make sure that that forms part of, involves our strategic plan. On the issue of the State of the Nation Address, the State of the Nation Address was quite instructive in this regard. Members will remember that almost each and every analysis of the State of the Nation Address is always make sure that it includes the issues on energy. And just to paraphrase, as much as Minister has already indicated, to paraphrase these issues, the issue that was raised in the State of the Nation Address was the clear government spending on public investment, of which more than half of that goes towards the energy infrastructure. And also, it also refers to the establishment of the Interministerial Committee on Energy to develop a 20-year integrated resource plan. It also refers to the participation of independent power producers and protection of the poor from rising electricity prices, and the establishment of the independent system and market operator, so independent from ESCOM. And members will recall that Minister indicated that this interministerial team is Minister's exercise oversight, but as departmental officials, we have got a number of working groups that go into detail on this work. And those working groups include economic impact of the recent NAFTA decision. Basically, this work group looks at what is going to be the impact on the economy of the tariff increases, and also to look at how elastic or how flexible is the demand for electricity in its response towards the increasing tariffs. And also, we also have one on protecting the poor, which looks at various options to try and cushion the poor against not just electricity but rising energy prices. We have got a working group that looks at a country plan. Okay, this way, country plan, integrated resource plan, energy needs, we're always going to use them interchangeably. But basically, they need one thing. We need for the electricity industry a long term, sustainable energy electricity plan that talks to our aspirations, among others, climate change. And also, of course, there is one on the network and sustainability and EDI restructuring. There is an appreciation from the Interministerial Committee that you cannot deal with the issues of the supply without dealing with the issues of the demand, or rather, how the, or how the supply is going to be conveyed into the demand. So the issue of the restructuring of electricity is also key. And by June this year, the plan is government needs to have a clear plan on which direction the restructuring of this industry is going. And of course, there is one on the independent power producer participation and the establishment of the independent system and market operator separate from ESCOM. And then there is another work group that is looking at the demand side management and energy efficiency. And also one that is looking at the strategic equity partner, for Wuzile. As members of the court, part of the tariff was that Eskom will find a strategic equity partner for Wuzile. And of course, the nuclear expansion program, this person could look at what is going to be the procurement processes, what is going to be the best way to ensure procurement in this regard. And there is one on coal haulage and logistics. Members will also remember that when it comes to electricity, the coal haulage becomes part of the tariff. So therefore, that area needs to be clearly articulated and clearly defined in order to make sure that at the end of the day, we don't have blackouts based on the fact that we're unable to bring coal to the power plant. And finally, the renewable energy program. The renewable energy program is looking at a whole number of programs that we're looking at in line with the accord in Copenhagen. Then, on the national budget vote speech, Minister Gordon indicated that the climate change issues and global energy supplies are going to play quite a crucial role. What it seems is, while there was not a lot of expansion on this point, but it became very clear that for the economy of this country, adequate energy supply is going to be quite key. And also spoke to the protection of the poor from rising cost of electricity, and also large public sector investment. Those are all the issues that are informing our strategic plan. And then, of course, Minister Peters made a budget vote speech on the 22nd of June last year, and he mentioned a number of issues that need to be taken care of. If I can just indicate that the dates that have been put there indicate at least when is going to be the plan in place for each and every item that is in the For example, national strategic stock policy. That doesn't mean that we're going to complete it on the 31st of March, but it simply means that come 31st of March we have a plan and a program and a gap chart on when I'm going to complete this. And also the development of integrated energy plan. And she mentioned that we are going to review the fuel standards and specifications. She also indicated that we are going to establish formally the South African National Energy Development Institute. She also indicated that we are going to review the liquid fuel charter. She indicated that we are going to establish the International Radioactive Waste Disposal Unit. She mentioned that we are going to convert the Safari reactor from using highly enriched uranium to low enriched uranium by NEXA, and I must say that in this regard, NEXA actually deserve an applause because they actually achieved that all ahead of schedule. And then also the promotion of the energy mix and as I mentioned, the independence of power producers. The rollout of 1 million solar water heaters in households and commercial buildings over a period of 5 years. Also, there were issues that were raised around the formalization of engagement with the Clinton Foundation to facilitate the development of an industrial energy park concept, focusing on concentrated solar power. She also mentioned that we are going to commission 400 megawatts of wind power through the independent power producer over the next 3 years, and also we are going to be directing or publishing the integrated resource plan for the country. She also mentioned that we are going to displace at least 2% of crude oil-based fuels with biofuels over a 5-year period. She also indicated that we are going to have an appropriate pricing policy framework to structure our tariff review such that the Indian section of our community are insulated from increasing electricity tariffs. And this number also took into consideration when they were considering their multi-year price designation, and that was seen with the debt tariffs. She indicated that we're going to launch rural electrification projects at Ekmalbos, Mumbai, Temba, Mshonzo, and we're also going to make sure that we invest in creating and outreach those district municipalities. So basically, these are the issues that also were included as part of our strategic plan. And then in terms of the general resolution, there are a number of issues also that were raised, amongst others, the integrated infrastructure plan, the implementation of the industrial policy. I might also indicate to members again that in terms of our energy plan, this is taken from the industrial policy. The industrial policy guides on the intensity of our energy plan. I'll give you a practical example. If our industrial policy says that we need to beneficiate our minerals locally, that simply means that our energy intensity is going to increase. Therefore, we need therefore to tailor make our supply to meet the needs of our plan. And of course, at the cabinet report, that the issue of the 2010 World Cup was raised quite sharply, and we therefore need to make sure that there are no interruptions both in liquid fuels and also in electricity. And in this regard, we do have a task team on liquid fuels that monitors the work that needs to be done by the oil industry. We have also assisted the oil industry to facilitate to ensure that they do have what I call it a competition exemption to make sure that they were able to play together. So and then in terms of after all that has been said, after all that has been said, the issue now was, what are the objectives of the energy sector? Go back. So in terms of the objectives of the energy sector, we have to say, all the things that have been said, are they in line with the objectives of the energy sector? So let's go back and reaffirm if we are doing the right thing with the objective as outlined in the white paper, and they are listed as shown. Now, in terms of having said that, so we have to go and say now, what are we going to do in terms of our departmental strategic plan? So in terms of our strategic plan, our mandate and mission. We said our mandate, therefore, based on all those issues that we have outlined, our mandate, therefore, will be to ensure secure and sustainable provision of energy for socio-economic development. That is our mandate. And then that our mission will be then to regulate and transform the sector for the provision of secure, sustainable and affordable energy. Okay. And then we had what we call Vision 2010. So in other words, what are the things we need to that need to happen during the 2010-2011 financial year? It's going to be a transformed and sustainable energy sector with universal access to modern energy carriers for all by 2010. Now, if I can just indicate, members, that when you do a vision, usually you don't bother whether you're going to get the money or not. And then later on, once you look at your resources, then you start reviewing what needs to be done. So obviously, we are going to be talking later and see whether the resources that we have for our vision. And then with that vision 2025, we need to improve our energy mix by having at least 30% of clean energy by 2025. When I say clean energy, I'm referring to low carbon energy. So in other words, that is a combination of renewable energy and other energy sources that are low carbon but might not necessarily be renewable. So in terms of our strategic objectives, they are basically aligned to the objectives of the energy sector, which includes, amongst others, energy security, achieving universal access, regulating the sector, effective and efficient service delivery, optimal utilization of energy resources, enhancing global culture, systems and people, and promote corporate governance. Now, where do we find ourselves as a department, as we speak? In terms of our organizational environment, we have a situation where we have to split our budget between ourselves and the Department of Mineral Resources, specifically for support services. And as members are quite aware, the Department of Mineral Resources has always been a bigger department because of the bigger needs at the time, which included, amongst other issues, the regulations and of the mineral resources sector. And what we are also finding ourselves in a situation where our budget is not as what we have prepared to see in terms of establishing a new department. So we need therefore to work a lot smarter and also make sure that we empower our people a lot better to make sure that we still achieve all those issues that need to be achieved. And also in that regard, we have requested our SOE to assist us with the setting up of the new department. So I can just indicate that some of the SOEs that have been very, very helpful to us, amongst others, have been the Department of, EDR Holdings have been very helpful to us, and they have also seconded people, and Dr. Adam has indicated that he's going to be recording people also, especially in our IT department, which is highly appreciated. And then of course, then our first phase of capacitating DOE, which included matching and placing, has been completed. Okay, the second phase then will be to fill in an advertised post, as we're going to be doing this before the end of this month. And of course, then there is an opportunity for additional capacity during the midterm adjustment on the year. And also, we are looking now for trying to make sure that we increase capacity in the various life functions to make sure that we are able to achieve what we have set ourselves to achieve. That is in the organization environment. However, my colleagues in administration are going to go into detail on what is going to happen in that environment. And then in terms of the legislative framework for this year, which obviously we'll be requesting the portfolio committee to assist us in this regard, will be on the EDR structuring area. As I've already indicated, we're hoping that at least by June this year, there will be a clear direction on what is going to happen with regards to the restructuring of the electricity sector. That will facilitate for us, I think we're being optimistic that things are going to go the way we prepare them to go, so then therefore we'll be able then to table the right establishment deal after the decision has been made. And also looking at the electricity regulation amendment deal, at the moment we are looking at for it to deal with the issue of appropriation for land, for electricity infrastructure, and the provision of the establishment of the ISMO. Okay, and then of course we're looking at the new regulations to enable the ITT to have a level playing field in the electricity sector. Okay, on the petroleum area, we are looking at the Petroleum Product Amendment Act to address non-compliance in the petroleum sector. But also, there are a number of policy issues that we need to deal that our assembly believes need to be dealt with. They might not need legislation, but they need to be considered. Issues on the liquid flows infrastructure. At the moment, we're talking about a constrained environment in terms of infrastructure for the liquid flows infrastructure. And that will mean dealing with the issue of our ports, dealing with the issue of the rail network and its reliability, the issue of our refinery sector. In other words, I'm sure members have been seeing a lot of discussions in the papers around the issue of refineries. We need to have finality on that issue. But also the issue around the insurance specification. Therefore, we need to make sure that we deal with all those issues quite aggressively. And then the next issue that needs to be dealt with is the National Energy Act of 2008. Because there are a number of provisions that empower the minister to do certain things. However, we need to develop regulations in this regard. And then, of course, the issues of the fuel specification regulation, as I've already indicated. Chairperson, I think that's basically the overview, as we see it, of the strategic plan. However, my colleagues, as I mentioned, are going to go into detail for each and every program on what is going to be needed in the strategic plan. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Director. We thought that then if we can zoom in into the program one after this, and then we'll take a break and then we'll take more issues in order to have time to gather the issues. I'm not sure whether you want to ask anything else. We can we put out all the questions, I'm sure, very much there for this presentation. Unless if members would like that, I think it's better if you follow any sort of comments because we ask you what are the things that are going to be presented. Is that okay? Okay. Can we then have the
Thank you, Chairperson. Minister, honorable members, our colleagues from the SOE and our colleagues from DME. I think my first presentation at this stage is going to be very short because it just took me to high level focus areas for the consultant discussion. And then Mr. Mooney will come in immediately after that and take the members through the discussion process or the split process, how far we are, what is still outstanding, if anything outstanding, and what our plans going forward. Chairperson, the minister made a very interesting comment earlier. She said she's got with her a building block of clean energy. And I think for support services in that regard, we've got two functions that we had to perform over the past couple of months. First of all, to design the structure through the blocks that have been provided to us, as well as also enhance that project in terms of providing the same length around the project, that is the same structure that is going to be operational going forward. To blending a strong base in terms of the activities. So what we've done over the past couple of months, we've said and we looked at what line function is asked for. In other words, what are the structures or what they expect to operate. We came up with four branches which should address the energy operation for the Department of Energy. The first one was the policy development branch. The second was the energy operational services. The third was the nuclear energy branch and lastly integrated energy planning. All of the four main structures have been identified. For us to be able to support that, we've looked at the support services, learning from what the most can get out of the ELE, and then look at how best we can apply that and enhance the performance of the project energy. We have, at this stage, identified three branches that will be addressing the corporate services or the support services, which is firstly the corporate services branch, addressing the HR, the legal, the auxiliary services, all those services. And then the next branch is the CFO's office, which is addressing your finance section, your IT section, together with your supply chain. And then lastly, of course, will be the new branch that is introduced in the department, which is now the Office of the Chief Operations Officer, which is dealing mostly with the areas of risk management, strategic planning, the monitoring and evaluation, SOE oversight, those kinds of functions. So that is the high level structure that we have identified. I think the main focus areas for with that background on our members, the main focus areas for support services for the 2010-11, probably into the next year, are going to be based mostly on the establishing of the new department. Providing a department that the clean energy can be able to work within. Setting up of operational structure, We've gone through that already. The structure has been presented to the DPSA. We're just awaiting for the consultation from the Minister of DPSA. Capacitating, Mr. Moni will take us through the details of how we'll pay for capacitating the department, starting with the support services and going into the life function, and of course the provision of the next skills. The other area we'll be looking at for the next year will be setting up of government structures. Those are compliance structures in terms of legislation, as well as compliance structures that are in terms of good corporate governance. Looking at the internal audit function, the audit committee, the risk management and self-regulation structures, the procurement, finance committee, all those structures have to be set up within the first quarter of the financial year. Some of them have to be set up by the first of April. And the process of a whole list of all those things, what needs to happen on the first April has been done, and not exactly what needs to be done from the first April. One of the other things to look at this year is the issue of the review of international agreements. Minister has, throughout EFCO, said we need to look at our relationship, our international relationship. So we've already started the process of reviewing what we already have coming from the DME, and then from there we'll be able to say what we need to add and the way going forward. Continuing on our focus area for this year as well, look at our communication strategy. How to profile the Department of Energy and the country's energy and the country's control of our energy security. Looking at the policies that we need to be in there, internal processes and our relationships of course with the energy sector. The next one is the strengthening of our SOE oversight function. Improving our internal processes of the oversight, alignment, and also the capacity within the department itself to provide that SOE oversight. It's one of the areas that is part of the speed where we have lost some of the resources because of the speed of the DMR. So we need to start building our own team to work on that. Lastly, on the finance area, we need to comply with financial legislation from day one. In other words, in terms of our plans going forward, we've identified what we need to do come day one, come federal paper. What we do, we've already provided with the two boards for the two departments. The MR has got its own board, we've got our own board, we've got our own budget, we've got our own budget. So everything has to be, so come day one. Financial compliance needs to be put in place. You need to know that come day one, if you want to buy anything, what you need to, where do you go? Addressing things like delegation of power from the DG, who does it delegate the power to, who is supposed to do what. So all of those things are happening right now as we speak in the department. If they come day one, everything runs smoothly. One of the responsibilities we have as support services is the oversight over the SOE reporting to the Minister of Energy. We've separated those two honest members into three areas. We've got our regulator, which is the National Energy Regulator, NESA, responsible for the issue of licenses, setting and approving tariffs and prices, monitoring and enforcing compliance with license conditions. And then we've got our nuclear regulator, the NNR, which of course regulates the diverse activities in the nuclear sector, protects persons and properties and environment against nuclear damage. And then within our SOEs also we have unfortunately, one of the things that we have to start working on Dr. Adams on our IT, because we had this thing last night where we put up a slide and then all of a sudden we just disappeared into the machine. I don't have the other. And of course, the next one is the research and development, which is done through NESA.
as the self-group. So that is basically the lesson for you, what you need to focus on and for support for the people going forward. I think what is important for us today is to take the committee on the holiday progress on the sleep of the department, because if that process is not strong enough, the operation of NAMPAC is going to be affected. So our focus then this morning is just on what process has been made, where are we going, and how far we've covered in terms of the ground with establishing the Department of Energy. Okay.
Good morning, Minister. The chairperson, Mr. Solo Bolinski, my colleagues, as well as the members from our SOE. What I'm going to present today is an update on the script process. Presentation, I will deal with the organizational scoping and review, processes, change management and communication processes, the human resources audit, the labor relations, as well as legal services. Other workflow processes will be dealt with by the Office of the CFO, because it's going to fall within the area of responsibility. I must indicate that Chairperson, this process was not an easy process. But we've learned quite a number of lessons. And we also shared good practices with a number of government departments. And I must say that because of the commitment of the working leader, we've met all deadlines of the department of members and anything in relation to this big process. Chairperson, you remember that the President during May month made an announcement, on the macro reorganization of the state, and the National Macro Reorganization Committee was established, and it was chaired by DPSA and all government departments that are affected by this macro reorganization process. We're required to make a presentation on progress made in as far as the announcement by the President. What we've done internally, we have established various work streams that have been taken in their own. And we also established an internal steering committee for the state of the department. And the level at which we have pitched our leadership on the work through team with director and upward. We have come up with a consolidated transitional plan, that is what guides the whole process of the state. And on a bi-weekly basis, we were required to present a progress report and in as far as our work stream responsibilities are concerned. I'll first deal with the organizational scoping and resources. I must say that we have finalized the functional analysis of the functions as we split. This was a very easy process because mineral related functions and had to go to the new Department of Mineral Resources, and energy related functions had to go to the new Department of Energy. Our challenge was supported, but an arrangement was agreed upon that support service component will provide a shared service until the 31st of March 2010. That is at the end of the financial year, because the DMR was identified as the hosting department, and in terms of accounting processes, the duty of DMR will require to account for what has happened during this financial year. And determination that was obtained from the Minister of Public Service and Administration was implemented accordingly. And I must say that the departmental structure has been designed and approved by both executing authorities. I am saying departmental structure because I'm also referring to the Department of EMR here. Because support services here are currently services to the department. But in as far as the concurrence of the Minister of Public Service and Administration is concerned, we have embarked on the consultation process and we are still awaiting that concurrence. But anyway, we are continuing with the implementation of both structures. The allocation of funding initially was a bit of a challenge, and we are required to identify the critical positions that are necessary for the setting up of the new Department of Energy. But I must say, off late, it seems things are going very well because we filled all the critical positions, and in addition to those positions that are necessary is also prepared. And we've also managed to advertise, you know, positions like, you know, the chief financial officer, you know, and other relevant positions that are necessary for the establishment of the Minister of Energy. Hence, the DG you are saying, come first of April, the intention is to ensure that we comply, you know, from the first day with the provisions of the public financial under that. All new positions in support services have been job evaluated and profiled. And in as far as the change and communication workstream problem is concerned, change management and communication strategy was developed and approved by the steering committee, and it was also implemented through the following: the issuing of the communique on the decision taken with respect to the split of the department. We've conducted workshops at all regional offices and head office, and I must indicate that the staff members within both departments were really looking forward to the speed of the department, because some of the members maybe they were intending to get rid of, you know, their principals, and principals very well intending to get rid of their subordinates. But I must say everybody was very impressed with the speed of the department. Of course, it's providing a lot of opportunities for growth amongst others. Matching and placement of staff promises. We have ensured that we abide by the provisions of the Labor Relations Act. We have ensured that whatever we do is sanctioned or approved by the Director General in a form of recognition, and both DGs have approved the appointment of the Matching and Placement Committee. And this Matching and Placement Committee is a representative of members of the senior management as well as representatives from our employer and an employee organization. We've developed the guidelines on matching and placement of employees, and these were finalized at DGC level. Chairperson, let me hasten to say, the matching and placement of staff, it is a prerogative of the employer, because with the split of the department, nobody is doing this job. Hence, the guidelines had to be agreed upon, and the employer had to be allowed, you know, space to implement those guidelines that are great to in the departmental chapter. The matching and placement of all employees was finalized last Friday, and a chairperson, what we are doing now, today we will be completing the capturing of data on two separate paper system that is for the Department of Energy and the Department of Environment. Budget systems will then be posted on the 23rd of March 2010, and the first step salary run will be done on the 2nd of April 2010. Report will then be generated, and then any anomalies between the bed and paper system and interface will be addressed prior to the 15th of April 2010. This is to ensure that all salaries that are being paid on the 15th of April, for persons that are in energy, they will be drawn from the budget of energy. For those that are in GMR, they will be drawn from the budget of GMR. This is to avoid, you know, unnecessary and audit queries and to comply with the PSMA LCD. I must say, Mr. Matuza, you can be rest assured, because you did ask me that question at some stage. You are going to get it done. And if you don't get it, then it's fine. Chairperson, you have to proceed with the maximum percent of employees, because I've indicated that we've already finalized informal implementation processes, data, and the case sharing of data will be finalized today. We have to obtain the approval of both DGs on the recommendation for maximum placement, and upon approval, formal placement letters shall be issued to affected employees. I'm not saying may, I say shall. And confirmation of acceptance of placement shall be done in writing, and in cases where people are not satisfied with the results of the placement, an appeal process will kick in. And once the maximum placement of staff is finalized, all vacant positions shall be advertised, not later than the 30th of April. We've already commented, particularly for those new positions, which clearly nobody could be placed again. You know, we have to match and place employees because we're trying to avoid a situation where certain individuals are being rendered redundant, and you find that you're sitting with two people in one position. But I don't think we have, you know, those kinds of problems. As we've managed this process very successfully. And after searching of positions, I'll be in line with the department, recruitment, and selection policy. I must also say, Chairperson, that this process will not promote people. People are being placed, you know, on the same level as the position they are currently occupying. And those that want to, you know, to grow, will have to run. They will have to apply for positions, and in terms of the production and recruitment policy, they will have to apply, interview, and be identified as position candidates. I must say, as far as the human resources audit is concerned, the proclamation of the split was obtained and implemented according to the stated, and identification and reinforcement, you know, of the functions of and post was done, and the new department has been created on the federal system, and what remains, which is still comes from the MR that we stated, because of, you know, if in the OT department is the funding, but that will come to an end at the end of the financial year. The identification of, you know, grouping of HR administrative activities will be finalized by 31st March 2010 and implemented by the 1st of April 2010. This relates to things like service benefits, leave, medical leave, subsidy, and I referred to the fact that there will be a trial run, you know, every April. A review of the current HR plan, because we have the one that combines both a DMR and DOE, will commence with that from the 1st of April. This will be for any specific component, and the review of the current HR policies, practices, and delegation will also commence with that from the 1st of April. Chairperson, as far as the labor, the workplace, and legal services is concerned, on a continuous basis, in consulting with employee organizations on the split process, and the split process is extending agenda item of the departmental budget chamber meetings. Last week we had one, and we dealt with quite a number of issues, and they were all addressed. We've also established, you know, a labor relations forum, and we've also signed a, you know, a collective agreement on the relocation of employees from the old in the Radio Center at Ravenna. And this agreement on the location was also signed in the government of Chamber. The establishment of the DBC structures for both departments is in done in consultation with the DPSSBC, that is the General Public Sectoral Bargaining Chamber, and separate DBC structures will be finalized by the 31st of May 2010. It will appear to be a later stage, but remember, with the national placement of staff, we have to identify DBC members that have to be trained, and come the end of May, they should be ready to start working. But for now, the current DBC will continue to render services to both departments. Work on the analysis and determination of legal instruments is ongoing and will be finalized also on the 31st of May. And we'll compile the report that will be considered a value. Both DBs, not later than the 31st of May. Chairperson, that's all in as far as the fleet is concerned. But I must say that we are confident that come the first of this, we'll be able to meet that in the future. Thank you.
Because of the joint meeting tomorrow for the human rights today,
then we take 1.5 days also to make sure that, and then give a range better. But when we move out of this room, we are much better as a particular committee, as we exercise our oversight role. We are in a much better position to understand rather than 2 hours, I mean, we normally have about 2-3 hours that we have in Parliament. Hence, that we meet here at the Lagoon Beach Hotel. I hope the minister and the agency also is there. Don't take us that we've got too much money for Parliament. We don't. But we try and negotiate the service. We use our negotiating skill with our committee secretary to have the rate lower than the public. But at least if we can get the free rate better than the B227 or B249 or B475. Those rates are very, very not there. Maybe I've been there for too long, maybe I must consider retirement after the step. But they are not right. I mean, at least here we have a better, you know, atmosphere and everything else. I mean, we will grasp more better here and have much more time there than in Parliament. So for the British, I think of Officer Mate and Councilor, but otherwise, I'm sure it's not a bad thing, you know. They're only not that you are president, you know, but we'll have a level, but as long as we get the free drink, it's better. Minister, we are very happy to see your presence with us today. You've been to the Hospital Committee before. But I think this is going to be a bonus that we have. We to have it scheduled. We must continue like that. I think the time is not after the cut. Fortunately, you are here with us. In terms of the progress, we are supposed to do introductions and objectives. The objective, I think, I don't have to be much more local than this. We'd like to get more from the department. Your 5 years are pretty clear. Then annually, what is another way to do? We should believe that you are waiting in terms of the manifesto or the some people say that the ruling party is a governing party because they're a multi-party democracy. I read some of the things from the people say, no, we are not a ruling party, we are a governing party. Yeah, but even if it's a government, we are voting, eh? So this individual is not right. That's how all you like it. We are booster. So now, how we booster is another. Okay, so we'll be able then, I'm sure, to have much more deeper understanding of the plan of the department. With all the challenges we have, but also with the obligations that we must deal with, is that the Copenhagen Accord, we are part of that. So we must then see out of the strategic plan as to how they take over and make sure that they implement some of the commitment that the President made in Copenhagen with the Minister of Water and Environment. Together then with the team, that was the team SA in Copenhagen, including our DD was conflict a bit and some of the stuff that was from the Department of Energy, including all the departments that are part of the negotiating team. And we're also part of the lobby team to lobby other parliamentarians and make sure that we can get a finding agreement, but we're not able we hope for Mexico this year, not in mind. But moreover, next year is COP17, and we'll be hosting COP17 in South Africa. So part of the deliberations of the COP conference, they have to see what that country's projects are in terms of renewable energy, what is existing, and what is it that they will do in the future. So this department then is having very, very, very important role to play in terms of rolling out a lot of what we talked about last year and also we will hear today as to what is the matter with the school, because we must take those delegates, which are more than, in Kosovo, there was an over 15 of members. Yeah, there were many people there that were over and above the normal conference. 20, 30,000, whatever, and with NGOs and others. So we must take them all these different projects that we have, or what is it that we can point out the renewable energy initiatives and countries that we have done. So it is quite a challenge, and I hope that with your team, Minister, will be able to tell us that today as to what is going forward. Things that are tangible that you can do, don't promise us things that cannot be. Once you really hear from yourself, what is it that you can do? So that is part of the objective of what then we are all about. And we know each other, I think, from the content based workshop last year, but I see there are some faces that we don't know. But not too many, you know. You would like us just to do a round of put those for us to know who's here. Okay. Where is it? That's okay. Let me start saying there are more departmental staff than members of the portfolio committee, but 14 members of the portfolio committee in terms of the after the election. So three of them, I think, are on the committee, the ad hoc committee, and we've got one that is off-sick, whatever, that's already come up there. So we are about four members or five members, but we are 7 here. That's one. Yeah. Seven. We hope that we join like two or one, but that's not our portfolio. Can we start with the Tanzania? Or you want us to start here? This side? Why the side? Oh, you're not supposed to be the one. All right.
That's not mine.
What are you the minister, we all know the minister. Not the whole history, let's of who you are, in a born way. Just the name and your portfolio. I start with Elizabeth Cabente and Chesterton Energy for me.
My name is Dina Mott, I'm the member of the Portfolio Committee.
Dave Mahoman, Department of Energy.
One more team, Metro Energy.
Omule Moluca, Ministru of Energy.
Permită mă rog să licensez planul de energie.
O chestie pe Money Energy Plan, eu îi.
Mult închide, hai de-o capăt.
Putem
o comă
nuclear energy from the
terminal
of energy.
Da, dacă mai de
Thank you very much. We do not have good food yet. I think we are missing NERSA, Petro SA. Where is that? Why are you pulling my stuff? NERSA is here. TS. Petro SA. Petro SA is not here. So it's NERSA and Petro SA. Program which all of us are here
monitoring, and it is the solar water heating system launch of a program called Sky MI in France today. And I had to ask Deputy Minister for TPE, Deputy Minister Inoko Norman, to stand in for me. And he really obliged, and I could have been here. The content of your program for this 2 or 1.5 days, Chairperson, shows that you really want to go deeper into understanding what it is that we as the Department of Energy will be doing in this particular year for the people of South Africa, but also how we intend ensuring that we implement the mandate for which we have been elected. Honourable members would appreciate that our central mandate is derived from the policies and legislative framework that we have in place, and that is primarily the need to ensure sustained security of energy supply and ensuring that we contribute towards the eradication of poverty by addressing energy poverty to achieve economic growth and development. All of us would remember that this year we would start the process of the evaluation of the Millennium Developmental Goals of halving poverty and unemployment by 2014. Within that, we have our integrated energy plan as well as other programs to make sure that we can address issues of energy poverty. Our January 8th statement of the ruling party states, and I want to quote, South Africa has ongoing problems in the energy sector that requires comprehensive solutions. The problems concerning energy are broader than the huge tariff increases we have today. There are issues regarding our country's energy mix, environmental sustainability, distribution mechanisms, surcharges by local municipalities, and the role of private producers to address. We would be failing our people if we do not address this agency in close quote. This, ladies and gentlemen, has been further enhanced by the pronouncement made by our president in the State of the Nation address when he said, and I quote again, to ensure reliable power supply, we have established an interministerial committee on energy to develop a 20-year integrated resource plan. Among other things, this will look at the participation of independent power producers and protecting the poor from rising electricity prices. We will establish an independent systems operator separate from Eskom Holdings. Eskom will continue to build additional generating capacity and improve the maintenance of its power station code. We all remember that what the president said is actually an indication of how we are going to make sure that in this particular financial year, we can address issues related to how we bring in the participation of independent power producers, as well as making sure that the poorest of the poor, who in most instances bear the brunt of, or bore the brunt of the economic recession, are protected from the rising electricity prices. You would know that already the organized labor has indicated that they are not satisfied with the tariff increase that has been determined by NERSA during this process of the NYPD2, and that they will be taken to the streets. That is something that we know is definitely going to affect quite a number of the operations of our government and our economic environment, and we need to be tracking this with energy and seriousness. We know that the labor unions are actually indicating that the tariffs as determined, despite the fact that the poorest of the poor have realized a decrease, is going to be a burden on job creation, it is going to be a burden on the, in particular, the middle income group. We know that it is going to be a bit of a challenge, but we know that there was no other alternative that NERSA had to deal with other than to come up with a particular framework within which the increases within Eskom could be realized. Ladies and gentlemen, the IMC on Energy has a number of working groups, and I believe that DG in her input would refer to that, which is actually mandated to look at various aspects of the statements that the President has released here or has indicated. But over and above that, there would be issues related to the energy mix, which in particular we're focusing with the renewable energies, the space for renewable energy, as well as the space for another base load in the nuclear field. We know that out there in our communities, there's already an outcry about nuclear. The NGOs have gone out to mobilize against UCI as a baseload, and you would know Chairperson as someone who participated in the Copenhagen climate change or environmental UN environmental program. You would know that there's been quite a call for us to actually diversify our energy mix to be able to work against climate change imperatives, in particular with the challenges that we have seen happening in our world so far. We are also saying as government and as a department, we have been entrusted with the responsibility to make sure that within this particular year, we can realize our objective of bringing in solar, wind, energy, as well as biomass. The processes have started, but we will be able to give the details in the presentation. We'll also have to indicate what it is that we're going to make sure that to do to make sure that we intensify our energy efficiency program, as well as the energy efficiency campaign that we need to launch and make possible that all of us participate in initiatives to save electricity and energy. We also spoke about the need, Chairperson, to increase the participation or the uptake of LPG gas in the household, especially, so as to make it possible that we can diversify our energy sources at the household level. The other thing that we have to deal with in the particular year, Chairperson, is the issue of the review of the liquid fuels charter. Improving our country's refining capacity, making it possible that we can complete the multi-product pipeline to meet the inland demand. Chairperson, you would also know that in the meetings that we have had in the past, we have indicated that if we are not going to take the issues of the regional electricity distribution services seriously, we need to be able to indicate to ourselves and to the country and the world what is it that we are going to do about the decaying infrastructure that we have in our communities in relation to distribution of electricity. We've got a big challenge of the 17th Constitutional Amendment Bill that is still before Parliament that we need to deal with within this particular financial year. We also have the issues related to the National Strategic Fuels Policy, like I indicated, the review of the liquid fuels industry charter, so as to make it possible that we can allow for the participation of the previously disadvantaged individuals in this particular space. We also need to develop a comprehensive integrated energy plan to provide an inclusive energy plan for the country. The finalization of the IRP2, particularly with focus on the nuclear energy expansion program. The other thing is the strengthening of our regulatory bodies, especially NERSA and NNR, supporting ESCOM and government in its first program, attaining universal access by 2012 and 2014, like we indicated, that unfortunately for us to realize the universal access for all households by 2012, we need to do a thorough investigation this year on our capacity as a department to deliver on that particular mandate, but also our capacity as a country to make it possible that by 2014 we've got universal access across the board. We also need to intensify, like I indicated, our energy efficiency campaign and decide that we demand self-management. We also would be taking through Parliament in this year the Electricity Regulation Act as a Second Amendment Bill, as well as the Independent Systems of a Market Operator Bill. So we know that the department will, for the lack of a better word, say, but I'm going to have to, every now and then they will be before the committee because they'll have to come and present this particular bill to you. One of the key areas that we want to also focus on, Chairperson, on the Electricity Regulation Act is the issue related to electricity theft. You would know that through the media, we've seen how people have done illegal connections and could justify why they are going to continue with illegal connections, especially with the increasing of the tariff. But I just want to indicate that the other big challenge that we have is in the judicial system where electricity theft is not regarded as economic sabotage or even a heavy weight so as to be able to justify a conviction. I believe that this year, 10% is going to be a short year and a busy year, and it means that all of us will then have to be able to make it possible that we can respond appropriately. Without wasting time, Chairperson, I believe that the DC would make further input in relation to the actual details of what the department will be doing.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Minister. I don't like to interpret what she said. She said it's quite an offense. And we hope that all what Minister is saying was expressed by another member. But Lucas is just to present an introduction. So maybe we can give you that opportunity to do as well.
I'm Eric Lucas, member of the PC.
Okay. In terms of the program, we are supposed now to move to the next presentation, which is by the Director General, who will name him at the back.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Minister, members of the Portfolio Committee, colleagues from the SOE, and my colleagues in the department. Thank you very much. Can I request that you put up the last thing? Thank you very much. This is going to be the structure of the presentation. I'm going to cover the issues at quite high level, issues that indicate what informed our strategic plan, and a broad brush on the various programs that are going to be presented by my colleagues later on, and then I will close. Now, if we go to the presentation, the big question was what informed our strategic plan. So we had to look at the number of issues that informed our strategic plan. That includes, among others, the government priorities. I'll go point by point in detail what I was referring to. The State of the Nation address by the President of the Republic. The National Budget vote speech by Minister Gordon. And also the issues that came from Minister Peter's budget vote speech last year. And also the issues on the 2010 cabinet, the social revolution, cluster priorities, and also sector specific challenges. So all these issues are going to be the issues that informed our strategic plan. And coincidentally, all those issues, there is a resonance, or rather, a thread going through all of them, which is, in short, energy security. Now, if I can just go into detail on the government priorities. Chairperson, Minister, and members of the Portfolio Committee will remember that government adopted the following priorities, which include creation of decent work and sustainable livelihoods, education, health, rural development, like food security and land reform, the fight against crime and corruption. And again, members will realize that in each and every one of those government priorities, energy is key. It's actually an enabler to make sure that those government priorities are actually able to be achieved. So hence, therefore, it's important for us to make sure that that forms part of, involves our strategic plan. On the issue of the State of the Nation Address, the State of the Nation Address was quite instructive in this regard. Members will remember that almost each and every analysis of the State of the Nation Address is always make sure that you include the issues on energy. And just to paraphrase, as much as Minister has already indicated, to paraphrase these issues, the issue that was raised in the State of the Nation address was the clear government spending on public investment, of which more than half of that goes towards the energy infrastructure. And also, it also refers to the establishment of the Interministerial Committee on Energy to develop a 20-year integrated resource plan. It also refers to the participation of independent power producers and protection of the poor from rising electricity prices and the establishment of the independent system and market operator, so independent from ESCOM. And members will recall that Minister indicated that this interministerial team is Minister's exercise oversight, but as departmental officials, we have got a number of working groups that go into detail on this work. And those working groups include economic impact of the recent Minister decision. This is this work group looks at what is going to be the impact on the economy of the tariff increases, and also to look at how elastic or how flexible is the demand for electricity in its response towards the increasing tariffs. And also, we also have one on protecting the poor, which looks at various options to try and cushion the poor against not just electricity but rising energy prices. We have got a working group that looks at the country plan. Okay, this way, country plan, integrated resource plan, energy needs, we're always going to use them interchangeably. But basically, they need one thing. We need for the electricity industry a long term, sustainable energy electricity plan that talks to our aspirations, among others, climate change. And also, of course, there is one on the network. And sustainability and EDI restructuring. There is an appreciation from the Interministerial Committee that you cannot deal with the issues of the supply without dealing with the issues of the demand, or rather, how the how the supply is going to be conveyed into the demand. So the issue of the restructuring of electricity is also key. And by June this year, the plan is government needs to have a clear plan on which direction the restructuring of this industry is going. And of course, there is one on the independent power producer participation and the establishment of the independent system and market operator separate from ESCOM. And then there is another work group that is looking at the demand side management and energy efficiency. And also one that is looking at the strategic equity partner for Wizile. As members of the call, part of the tariff was that ESCOM will find a strategic equity partner for Wizile. And of course, the nuclear expansion program. This working group looks at what is going to be the procurement processes, what is going to be the best way to ensure procurement in this regard. And there is one on coal haulage and logistics. Members will also remember that when it comes to electricity, the coal haulage becomes part of the tariff. So therefore, that area needs to be clearly articulated and clearly defined in order to make sure that at the end of the day, we don't have blackouts based on the fact that we're unable to bring coal to the power plant. And finally, the renewable energy program. The renewable energy program is looking at a whole number of programs that we are looking at in line with the accord in Copenhagen. Then, on the National Budget Goal speech, Minister Gordon indicated that the climate change issues and global energy supply are going to play quite a crucial role. While there was not a lot of expansion on this point, but it became very clear that for the economy of this country, adequate energy supply is going to be quite key. And also spoke to the protection of the poor from rising cost of electricity, and also large public sector investment. Those are all the issues that are informing our strategic plan. And then, of course, Minister Peters made a budget goal speech on the 22nd of June last year. And he mentioned a number of issues that need to be taken care of. If I can just indicate that the dates that have been put there indicate at least when is going to be the plan in place for each and every item that is in the For example, National Strategic Growth Stock Policy. That doesn't mean that we're going to complete it on the 31st of March, but it simply means that come 31st of March we have a plan and a program and a gap chart on when I'm going to complete this. And also the development of an integrated energy plan. And she mentioned that we are going to review the field standards and specifications. She also indicated that we are going to establish formally the South African National Energy Development Institute. She also indicated that we are going to review the UPIC World Charter. She indicated that we are going to establish the National Radioactive Waste Disposal Unit. She mentioned that we are going to convert the Safari reactor from using highly enriched uranium to low enriched uranium by NEXA. And I must say that in this regard, NEXA actually deserve an applause because they actually achieved that all ahead of schedule. And then also the promotion of the energy mix and as I mentioned, the independence of power producers, the rollout of 1 million solar water heaters in households and commercial buildings over a period of 5 years. Also, there were issues that were raised around the formalization of engagement with the Clinton Foundation to facilitate the development of an industrial energy park concept, focusing on concentrated solar power. She also mentioned that we are going to commission 400 megawatts of wind power through the independent power producer over the next 3 years. And also we are going to be gazetting or publishing the integrated resource plan for the country. She also mentioned that we are going to displace at least 2% of crude oil-based fuels with biofuels over a 5-year period. She also indicated that we are going to have an appropriate pricing policy framework to structure our tariff regime such that the Indian section of our communities are insulated from increasing electricity tariffs. And this number also took into consideration when they were considering their multi-year price designation, and that's what I'm seeing with the debt tariff. She indicated that we're going to launch rural electrification projects at Ekmalbos, Mumbai, Temba, Mshonzo, and we're also going to make sure that we invest in Kisani and other those district municipalities. So basically, these are the issues that also were included as part of our strategic plan. And then in terms of the Hutla resolution, there are a number of issues also that were raised, among others, the integrated infrastructure plan, the implementation of the industrial policy. I might also indicate to members again that in terms of our energy plan, this is taken from the industrial policy. The industrial policy guides on the intensity of our energy plan. I'll give you a practical example. If our industrial policy says that we need to beneficiate our minerals locally, that simply means that our energy intensity is going to increase. Therefore, we need to tailor make our supply to meet the needs of our plan. And of course, at the cabinet report, the issue of the 2010 World Cup was raised quite sharply, and we therefore need to make sure that there are no interruptions both in liquid fuels and also in electricity. And in this regard, we do have a task team on liquid fuels that monitors the work that needs to be done by the oil industry. We have also assisted the oil industry to facilitate to ensure that they do have what I call it a competition exemption to make sure that they were able to get together. So, and then in terms of after all that has been said, the issue now was, what are the objectives of the energy sector? Go back. So in terms of the objectives of the energy sector, we have to say all the things that have been said, are they in line with the objective of the energy sector? So let's go back and reaffirm if they are, if we are doing the right thing with the objective as outlined in the white paper, and they are listed as shown. Now, in terms of having said that, so we have to go and say now, what are we going to do in terms of our departmental strategic plan? So, in terms of our strategic plan, our mandate and mission. We said our mandate, therefore, based on all those issues that we have outlined. Our mandate, therefore, will be to ensure secure and sustainable provision of energy for socio-economic development. That is our mandate. And then said our mission will be then to regulate and transform the sector for the provision of secure, sustainable, and affordable energy. Okay. And then we had what we call Vision 2010. So in other words, what are the things we need to that need to happen during the 2010-2011 financial year? It's going to be a transformed and sustainable energy sector with universal access to modern energy carriers for all by 2010. Now, if I can just indicate, members, that when you do a vision, usually you don't bother whether you're going to get the money or not. And then later on, once you look at your resources, then you start reviewing what needs to be done. So obviously, we are going to be talking later and see whether the resources that we have for our vision. And then with that vision 2025, we need to improve our energy mix by having at least 30% of clean energy by 2025. When I say clean energy, I'm referring to low carbon energy. So in other words, that is a combination of renewable energy and other energy sources that are low carbon but might not necessarily be renewable. So in terms of our strategic objectives, they are basically aligned to the objectives of the energy sector, which includes, amongst others, energy security, achieving universal access, regulating the sector, effective and efficient services, service delivery, optimal utilization of energy resources, enhancing geology culture, systems and people, and promote corporate governance. Now, where do we find ourselves as a department, as we speak? In terms of our organizational environment, we have a situation where we have to split our budget between ourselves and the Department of Mineral Resources, specifically for support services. And as members are quite aware, the Department of Mineral Resources has always been a bigger department because of the bigger needs at the time, which included, amongst other issues, the regulations and of the mineral resources sector. And what we are also finding ourselves in a situation where our budget is not as what we have prepared to see in terms of establishing a new department. So we need therefore to work a lot smarter and also make sure that we empower our people a lot better to make sure that we still achieve all those issues that need to be achieved. And also in that regard, we have requested our SOE to assist us with the setting up of the new department. So I can just indicate that some of the SOEs that have been very, very helpful to us, amongst others, have been the Department of, EDR Holdings has been very helpful to us, and they have also seconded people, and Dr. Adam has indicated that he's going to be seconding people also, especially in our IT department, which is highly appreciated. And then, of course, then our first phase of capacitating DOE, which included matching and placing has been completed. Okay, the second phase then will be to fill in the agricultural, as we're going to be doing this before the end of this month. And of course, then there is an opportunity for additional capacities during the midterm adjustment on the year. And also, we are looking now for trying to make sure that we increase capacity in the various large functions to make sure that we are able to achieve what we have set ourselves to achieve. That is in the organization environment. However, my colleagues at administration are going to go into detail on what is going to happen in this environment. And then, in terms of the legislative framework for this year, which obviously is requested the portfolio committee to assist us in this regard, will be on the EDR structuring area. As I've already indicated, we're hoping that at least by June this year, there will be a clear direction on what is going to happen with regards to the restructuring of the electricity sector. That will facilitate for us, I think we're being optimistic that things are going to go the way we prefer them to go, so then therefore we'll be able then to table the red establishment deal after the decision has been made. And also looking at the electricity regulation amendment bill, at the moment we are looking at for it to deal with the issue of appropriation for land, for electricity infrastructure, and the provision of the establishment of the ISMO. Okay, and then of course we're looking at the new regulations to enable the IPP to have a level playing field in the electricity sector. Okay, on the petroleum area, we are looking at the Petroleum Product Amendment Act to address non-compliance in the petroleum sector. But also, there are a number of policy issues that we need to deal that our family believes need to be dealt with. They might not need legislation, but they need to be considered. Issues on the liquid fuel infrastructure. At the moment, we're talking about a constrained environment in terms of infrastructure for the liquid fuel infrastructure. And that will mean dealing with the issue of our ports, dealing with the issue of the rail network and its reliability, the issue of our refinery sector. In other words, I'm sure members have been seeing a lot of discussions in the papers around the issue of refineries. We need to have a finality on that issue. But also the issue around the fuel specification. Therefore, we need to make sure that we deal with all those issues quite aggressively. And then the next issue that needs to be dealt with is the National Energy Act of 2008, because there are a number of provisions that empower the minister to do certain things. However, we need to develop regulations in this regard. And then, of course, the issues of the fuel specification regulations, as I've already indicated. Chairperson, I think that's basically the overview, as we see it, of the strategic plan. However, my colleagues, as I mentioned, are going to go into detail for each and every program on what is going to be needed in the strategic plan. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Director. We saw that then if we can zoom in into the program one after this, and then we'll take a break and then we'll get deliberations to know that we must try to gather the input. I'm not sure whether you want to ask anything else. Can we put up all the questions I'm sure very much there for this presentation? Unless if members would like, but I think it's better if you follow the answer to the question, because we have seen all the things that are going to be presented. Is that okay? Okay. Can you then have
Thank you, Chakati.
Minister, honorable members, our colleagues from the SOE and our colleagues from DME. I think my first presentation at this stage is going to be very short because it just opens a high level focus area for the support and dysfunction. And then Mr. Mooney will come in immediately after that and take the members through the construction process or the street process, how far we are, what is still outstanding, if anything outstanding, and what our things going forward. Separately, the minister made a very interesting comment earlier. He said he's got his hair a building block of peak energy. And I think for support services in that regard, it's got two functions that we had to perform over the past couple of months. First of all, to design the structure through the blocks that have been provided to us, as well as also enhance that project in terms of providing the cement around the project, that is the same structure that is going to be operational going forward. Presenting a strong base in terms of the activities. So what we've done over the past couple of months, we sat and we looked at what land function is armed for. In other words, what are the structures, what they expect to operate. We came up with four branches which address the energy operation for the Department of Energy. The first one was the policy development branch. The second was the energy operational services. The third was the nuclear energy branch, and lastly, integrated energy planning. All of the four main structures have been identified. For us to be able to support that, we've looked at the support services, learning from what the most can step up of the ELE, and then look at how best we can apply that and enhance the performance of the project energy. We have, at this stage, identified three branches that we will be addressing the corporate services or the support services, which is firstly the corporate services branch, addressing the HR, the legal, the auxiliary services, all those services. And then the next branch is the CFO's office, which is addressing your finance section, your IT section, together with the supply chain. And then lastly, of course, will be the new branch that we have completely produced in the department, which is now the Office of the Chief Operations Officer, which is dealing mostly with the areas of risk management, strategic planning, the monitoring and evaluation, SOE oversight, those kinds of functions. So that is the high level structure that we have to define. I think the main focus areas for project background, honest members, the main focus areas for support services for the 2010-11, probably into the next year, are going to be made mostly on the establishing of the new department. Providing a department that the clean energy can be able to work within. Setting up of operational structure, we have gone through that already. The structure has been presented to the DPSA. We are just awaiting for the consultation from the Minister of DPSA. Capacitating, Mr. Mooney will take us through the details of how we will plan for capacitating the department, starting with the support services and going into the land function, and of course the provision of the necessary skills. The other area we'll be looking at for the next year will be setting up of government structures. Those are compliance structures in terms of legislation, as well as compliance structures that are in terms of good corporate governance. Looking at the internal audit function, the audit committee, the risk management and stock prevention structures, your procurement, finance committee, all those structures have to be set up within the first quarter of the financial year. Some of them have to be set up by the 1st of April. And the process of the whole, a whole list of all those things, what needs to happen on the 1st of April has been done, and not exactly what needs to be done on the 1st of April. One of the other things to look at this year is the issue of the review of international agreements. Minister has, throughout said we need to look at our relationship, our international relationship. So we've already started the process of reviewing what we already have coming from the GSE, and then from there we'll be able to say what we need to add and the way going forward. Continuing on our focus area for this year is to look at our communication strategy. How to profile the Department of Energy and the country's energy and country's control of our energy security. looking at the policies that we need to do there, internal processes, and our relationship, of course, with the energy sector. The next one is the strengthening of our SOE oversight function, improving our internal processes of the oversight, alignment, and also the capacity within the department itself to provide that SOE oversight. It's one of the areas though that is part of the speed where we have lost some of the resources because of the speed to DMR. So we need to start building our own team to work on that. Lastly, on the finance area, we need to comply with financial legislation from day one. In other words, in terms of our plans going forward, we've identified what we need to do come day one, come first of April. What we do, we've already provided with the two boards for the two departments, the MR has got its own board, we've got our own board, we've got our own budget, we've got our own budget, so everything has to be, so come day one. Financial compliance needs to be put in place. You need to know that come day one, if you want to buy anything, what you need to, where do you go? Addressing things like delegation of power from the DG, who does it delegate the power to, who is supposed to do what. So all of those things are happening right now as we do within the department. If they come day one, everything runs smoothly. One of the responsibilities we have as support services is the oversight over the SOEs reporting to the Minister of Energy. We've separated those two honest members into three areas. We've got our regulator, which is the National Energy Regulator, NESA, responsible for the issue of licenses, setting and approving terms and prices, monitoring and enforcing compliance with license conditions. And then we've got our nuclear regulator, the NNR, which of course regulates the diverse activities in the nuclear sector, protects persons and properties and environment against nuclear damage. And then within our SOEs also we have unfortunately, one of the things that we have to start working on Dr. Adams on our IT, because we had this thing last night where we put up a slide and then all of a sudden we just disappeared with the commission like a half a day. But anyway, CDI also, that for the restructuring and the existing electricity entities, it would be financially viable. And of course, the next one is the research and development, which is done through NESA, as well as the research group. So, I just make kind of a little brief what we need to focus on in terms of support services going forward. I think what is important for us today is to take the committee on the progress on the sleep of the department, because if that process is not strong enough, the operations of the national function is going to be affected. So our focus then this morning is just on what the process has been made, where are we going, and how far we've come in terms of the ground with establishing the Department of Energy. Okay.
Good morning. My colleagues, as well as members from our SOE. What I'm going to present today is an African state process. Presentation, I will deal with the organizational scoping and review, processes, change management and communication processes, the human resources audit, labor relations as well as legal services. You know, other Western processes will be dealt with by the Office of the CFO because it's going to fall within the area of responsibility. I'm asking the case that Chairperson, if this process was more than this process. But we've learned quite a number of lessons. And we also shared good practices with a number of government departments. And I must say that because of the commitment of the Western leader, we've met all deadlines of the Department of Minerals and Energy in relation to this process. Chairperson, you remember that the President, during May month, made an announcement, you know, on the macro reorganization of the state, and the National Macro Reorganization Committee was established. And it was chaired by DPSA and all government departments that are affected by this, you know, by this macro reorganization process were required to make a presentation on progress made in as far as the announcement by the president. What we've done internally, we have established, you know, various streams that have been taken earlier on. And we also established an internal steering committee for the split of the department. And the level at which we have pitched our leadership on the Western team is director and upward. We have come up with a consolidated transitional plan, you know, that was guiding the whole process of the split. And on a bi-weekly basis, we were required to present progress report in as far as, you know, our Western responsibilities are concerned. I'll first deal with the organizational scoping and review processes. I must say that we have finalized the functional analysis of the functions at each split. This was a very easy process because mineral related functions and entities, you know, had to go to the new Department of Mineral Resources, and energy related functions that you go to the new Department of Energy. Our challenge was a support system, but an arrangement was agreed upon that support services components will provide a shared service until the 31st of March 2010. That is at the end of the financial year, because the DMR was identified as the hosting department, and in terms of accounting processes, the DG of DMR is required to account for what has happened during this financial year. And determination that was obtained from the Minister of Public Service and Administration was implemented accordingly, and I must say that the departmental structure has been designed and approved by both executing authorities. I am saying departmental structure because I'm also referring to the Department of EMR here. Because support services are currently serving two departments. But in as far as the concurrence of the Minister of Public Service and Administration is concerned, we have embarked on a consultation process and we are still awaiting that concurrence. But anyway, we are continuing with the implementation of both structures. The allocation of funding initially was a bit of a challenge, and we are required to identify the critical positions that are necessary for the setting up of the new Department of Energy. But I must say, off late, it seems things are going very well, because we filled all the critical positions, and in addition to those positions that are necessary, we also prepared. And we've also managed to advertise, you know, a position like, you know, the Chief Financial Officer, you know, and other relevant positions that are necessary for the establishment of the Minister of Energy. Hence, the DG, you are saying, come first of April, the intention is to ensure that we comply, you know, on the Thursday with the positions of the Public Financial Office. all new positions in support services have been job evaluated and profiled. And in as far as change and communication, Western problems concerned, change management and communication strategy was developed and approved by the steering committee, and it was also implemented through the following. The issuing of a communique on the decision taken with respect to the split of the department. We've conducted workshops at all regional offices and hosts and head office, and I must indicate that the staff members within both departments were really looking forward to the split of the department, because some of the members, maybe they were intending to get rid of, you know, their principals, and principals maybe were intending to get rid of their subordinates. But I must say everybody was very impressed with the split of the department. Of course, it's providing a lot of opportunities for growth amongst others. Matching and placement of staff promises. We have ensured that we abide by the provisions of the Labor Relations Act. We have ensured that whatever we do is sanctioned or approved by the Director General in a form of recognition, and both CGs have approved the appointment of the matching and placement committees. And these matching and placement committees are representative of members of the senior management as well as representatives from our employer and an employee organization. We've developed the guidelines on matching and placement of employees, and these were finalized at CPP level. Chairperson, let me hasten to say, the matching and placement of staff, it is a prerogative of the employer, because with the split of the department, nobody is losing his job. Hence, the guidelines had to be agreed upon, and the employer had to be allowed, you know, space to implement those guidelines as agreed to in the departmental chapter. The matching and placement of all employees was finalized last Friday. And a chairperson, what we are doing now, today you will be completing the capturing of data on two separate paper systems, that is for the Department of Energy and the Department of Industrial Services. Budget systems will then be posted on the 23rd of March 2010, and the first test salary run will be done on the 2nd of April 2010. Reports will then be generated, and then any anomalies between the bed and test system and interface will be addressed prior to the 15th of April 2010. This is to ensure that all salaries that are being paid on the 15th of April. For persons that are in energy, they will be drawn from the budget of energy. For those that are in GMR, they will be drawn from the budget of GMR. This to avoid, you know, unnecessary audit queries and to comply with the PSMA LCDC. I must say, Mr. Matuda, you can be rest assured, because you did ask me that question at some stage. You are going to get it done. And you did not get it, and take mine. Now, that's enough to proceed with the matching and treatment of employees. Because I've indicated that we've already finalized the formal matching and treatment processes, data, and the case sharing of data will be finalized today. We have to obtain the approval of both DGs on the recommendations for matching and placement, and upon approval, formal placement letters shall be issued to affected employees. I'm not saying may, I say shall. And confirmation of acceptance of placement shall be done in writing, and in cases where people are not satisfied with the result of the placement, an appeal process will kick in. And once the matching and placement of staff is finalized, all vacant positions shall be advertised not later than the 30th of April 2010. We've already commented, particularly for those new positions, which clearly nobody could be placed against. You know, we have to match and place employees because we're trying to avoid a situation where certain individuals are being rendered redundant, and you find that you're sitting with two people in one position. But I don't think we have, you know, those kinds of problems. As we manage this process very efficiently. And after certain positions are in line with the department, recruitment and selection policy. I must also say that this process will not promote people. People are being placed, you know, on the same level as the position they are currently occupying. And those that want to, you know, to grow will have to run. They will have to apply for positions, and in terms of the promotion, selection and recruitment policy, they will have to apply, interview, and be identified as potential candidates. I must say, as far as the human resources audit is concerned, the proclamation of the split was obtained and implemented according to the stated, and identification and implementation, you know, of the functions of and posts of time, and the new department has been created on the federal system, and what remains, which is still comes from the MR that we created, because of, you know, it being the hosting department, is the funding, but that will come to an end at the end of the financial year. The identification of, you know, grouping of HR administrative activities will be finalized on 31st March 2010 and implemented by the 1st of April 2010. This relates to things like credit benefits, leave, medical aid, subsidy, and I refer to the fact that there will be a child grant, you know, every April. Review of the current HR plan, because we have the one that combines both a DMR and DOE, will commence with that from the set of people. This will be for any specific component, and the review of the current HR policy practices and delegation will also commence with that from the set of people. Chairperson, as far as the labor, the workplace and legal services is concerned, on a continual basis in consulting with employee organizations on the split process and the split process, the standing agenda item of the Departmental Budget Chamber meeting. And last week we had one, and we dealt with quite a number of issues, and they were all addressed. We've also established the labor relations forum, and we've also signed a, you know, a collective agreement on the relocation of employees from the old Nuralia Center at Savannah. And this agreement on the relocation was also signed in the Department of Center. The establishment of the DB structures for both departments is being done in consultation with the DPSSBC, that is the General Public Sectoral Bargaining Chamber, and separate DBC structure will be finalized by the 31st of May 2010. It will appear to be, you know, a later phase, but remember, with the National Placement of Staff, we have to, you know, identify DBC members that have been trained, and come the end of May, they should be ready to start work. But for now, the current DBC will continue to render services to both departments. Work on the analysis and determination of legal instruments is ongoing and will be finalized also on the basis of legal step. And we'll compile the legal report that will be considered by both DBs, not later than the step of May. Chairperson, that's all in as far as the fleet is concerned. But I must say that we are confident that from the first of April we'll be having the new department of energy. Thank you.
Okay. Let's go to Chair, in terms of corporate governance, we call team or copy, and then we come then for deliberation and then move on. Okay, the same here, officer. 11:05 to 11:20. If it's earlier, then we can come earlier. Don't go away, far away.
11:15.
No, I want to say 11. Not 11:15. 11:15. No. 11:20.
There
are no more smoker. Can you please smoke? Yes, fine. Leave that,
it's okay. Let's not break for tea and then come back. Better.
Let me start. We are very happy to see your presence with us today. We've been to the Othello committee before, but I think this is going to be a bonus here. I think the time is not after the cut. Fortunately, you are here with us. In terms of the program, we are supposed to do introduction and objective. The objective, I think, I don't have to be much more longer than this. We would like to get more from the department, your 5-year strategic plan, and then annually, what is the other way to do? Which you believe that you are waiting in terms of the manifesto of the some people say that the ruling party is a government party because you're a multi-party democrat. People say no, we are not a ruling party, we are a government party. Yeah, but even if it's a government, we are voting, eh? So in this way, it's not nice. That's how all you like. But now, how we boost that is another. Okay, so then we'll be able then, I'm sure, to have much more deeper understanding of the plan of the department, with all the challenges we have, but also with the obligations that we must deal with. It is that the Copenhagen Accord, we are part of that. So we must then see out of this strategic plan as to how then take over and make sure that they implement some of the commitment that the president made in Copenhagen with the Minister of Water and Government, together then with the team that was the team SA in Copenhagen, including our DB and conflict a bit and some of the stuff that was from the Department of Energy, including all the departments that are part of the negotiating team. And we're also part of the lobby team to lobby other parliamentarians and make sure that we can get a political binding agreement, but we're not able to vote for Mexico this year, but the money to do that. But moreover, next year is COP17. We'll be hosting COP17 in South Africa. So part of the deliberations of the COP conference, they have to see what that country's projects are in terms of renewable energy, what is existing, and what is it that they will do. So this department then is having very, very, very important role to play in terms of rolling out a lot of what you talk about last year. And also, we'll be here today as to what is another way to do, because we must take those delegates, which are more than in Copenhagen, there was an over 16 of members. Yeah, there were many people there that were over and above the normal conference, 20,000, 30,000, whatever, there were people there, and Israel and those and others. So we must take them all these different projects that we have, or what is it that we can point out the renewable energy initiatives in the country that we have done. So it is quite a challenge, and I hope that with your team, Minister, will be able to tell us then today as to what is the way forward. Things that are tangible that we can do, don't promise us things that cannot be. One is to really hear from yourself what is it that we can do. So that is part of the objectives of what then we are all about. And we know each other, I think, from the content-based workshop last year, but I see there are some faces that we don't know. I'm not too many of you. You would like us just to do a round of put us for a long day. Okay. What is it? That's okay. Let me start saying there are more departmental staff than members of the portfolio committee, but 14 members of the portfolio committee. in terms of the after the election. So three of them, I think, are on the committee, the ad hoc committee, and we've got one that is of OSPIC, whatever, there's already four members there. So we are about four members or five members, but we are seven here.
That one?
Yeah.
Seven.
Before that, we've joined like two or one, but that's
one I was supposed
to. When was, can we start with Tanzania?
Or you want to start again?
This side? Why? Oh, you want to go to the
one?
All right.
Then go on
mine. You want us to start the minister? We all know the minister. Okay. Not the whole history, yeah, of who you are, you were born where. Not that time, just your name and your portfolio. I start myself. Elizabeth Cabente, Chesterton, from it. Elizabeth, before we start, there were too many Elizabeth in the university. From housing, but now we're waiting in case.
My name is Dina Mott, I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. We don't have good book yet. I think we are missing NERPA.
Why are you pulling myself?
NERPA is here. PS. Hepo is not here. So it's NERPA and Hepo is here. I think without further ado, let's then give to the minister with the remarks. And no long introduction. Yeah, oh minister, it tells that in a way I know him. She doesn't like this long whatever. There's a thin line between introduction and obituary.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Honorable Chairperson, the Executive Director and the members of the Portfolio Committee, the Director General of the Department of Energy and the Building Blocks of Clean Energy. Let me start by commending the committee for convening this important working session here in the Phoenix venue, and I want to congratulate the chairperson for deciding that we need some breath of fresh air, starting on the right footing with the sea next to us, so that we can keep on reflecting positively on where we're going to. When we were elected in 2009, the people of South Africa gave the African National Congress a mandate based on a saying that says working together we can do more. Chairperson, I just want to indicate that this we apply in practice, and I need to indicate here that had it not been the case, I would not have been here, because I was supposed to be presiding at two important events, equally important as this portfolio committee, which is the World Africa Clean Technology Conference happening in Sandton, as well as a launch of a program which all of us are clearly monitoring, and it is the solar water heating system launch of a program called GAEMA in France today. And I have to ask the Deputy Minister for TPE, the Deputy Minister Inokonomana, to stand in for me, and he really obliged, and I could have been here. The content of your program for this 2 or 1.5 days, Chairperson, shows that you really want to go deeper into understanding what it is that we as the Department of Energy will be doing in this particular year for the people of South Africa, but also how we intend ensuring that we implement the mandate for which we have been elected. Honourable members would appreciate that our central mandate is derived from the policies and legislative framework that we have in place, and that is primarily the need to ensure sustained security of energy supply and ensuring that we contribute towards the eradication of poverty by addressing energy poverty to achieve economic growth and development. All of us would remember that this year we would start the process of the evaluation of the Millennium Developmental Goal of halving poverty and unemployment by 2014. Within that, we have our integrated energy plan, as well as other programs to make sure that we can address issues of energy poverty. Our January 8th statement of the ruling party states, and I want to quote, South Africa has ongoing problems in the energy sector that requires comprehensive solutions. The problems concerning energy are broader than the huge tariff increases we have today. There are issues regarding our country's energy mix, environmental sustainability, distribution mechanisms, surcharges by local municipalities, and the role of private producers to address
We would be failing our people if we did not address this agency in close call. This, ladies and gentlemen, has been further enhanced by the pronouncement made by our president in the State of the Nation address when he said, and I quote again, to ensure reliable power supply, we have established an interministerial committee on energy to develop a 20-year integrated resource plan. Among other things, this will look at the participation of independent power producers and protecting the poor from rising electricity prices. We will establish an independent systems operator separate from Eskom Holdings. Eskom will continue to build additional generation capacity and improve the maintenance of its power station source code. We all remember that what the president said is actually an indication of how we are going to make sure that in this particular financial year, we can address issues related to how we bring in the participation of independent power producers, as well as making sure that the poorest of the poor, who in most instances bear the brunt of, or bore the brunt of the economic recession, are protected from the rising electricity prices. You will know that already the organized labor has indicated that they are not satisfied with the tariff increase that has been determined by NERSA during this process of the NYPD2, and that they will be taken to the streets. That is something that we know is definitely going to affect quite a number of the operations of our government and our economic environment, and we need to be tracking this with energy and seriousness. We know that the labor unions are actually indicating that the tariff as determined, despite the fact that the poorest of the poor have realized a decrease, is going to be a burden on job creation, it is going to be a burden on, the, in particular, the middle income group. We know that it is going to be a bit of a challenge, but we know that there was no other alternative that NERSA had to deal with other than to come up with a particular framework within which the increases within Eskom could be realized. Ladies and gentlemen, the IMC on Energy has a number of working groups, and I believe that DC in her input would refer to that, which is actually mandated to look at various aspects of the statement that the President has released here or has indicated. But over and above that, there would be issues related to the energy mix, which in particular we're focusing with the renewable energies, the space for renewable energy, as well as the space for another base load in the nuclear field. We know that out there in our communities, there's already an outcry about nuclear. The NGOs have gone out to mobilize against nuclear as a base load. And you would know, Chairperson, as someone who participated in the Copenhagen Climate Change environmental UN environmental program, you would know that there's been a call for us to actually diversify our energy mix to be able to work against climate change imperatives, in particular with the challenges that we have seen happening in our world so far. We are also saying as government and as department, we have been entrusted with the responsibility to make sure that within this particular year, we can realize our objective of bringing in solar, wind, energy, as well as biomass. The processes have started, but we will be able to give the details in the presentation. We'll also have to indicate what it is that we're going to make sure that to do to make sure that we intensify our energy efficiency program, as well as the energy efficiency campaign that we need to launch and make possible that all of us participate in initiatives to save electricity and energy. We also spoke about the need, Chairperson, to increase the participation or the uptake of LPG gas in the households, especially, so as to make it possible that we can diversify our energy sources at the household level. The other thing that we have to deal with in this particular year, Chairperson, is the issue of the review of the liquid fuel charter, improving our country's refining capacity,
making it possible that you can complete the multi-product pipeline to meet the inland demand. Chairperson, you would also know that in the meetings that we have had in the past, we have indicated that if we are not going to take the issues of the regional electricity distribution services seriously, we need to be able to indicate to ourselves and to the country and the world what is it that we are going to do about the decaying infrastructure that we have in our communities in relation to distribution of electricity. We've got a big challenge of the 17th Constitutional Amendment Bill that is still before Parliament that we need to deal with within this particular financial year. We also have the issues related to the National Strategic Schools Policy, like I indicated, the review of the liquid fuels industry charter, so as to make it possible that we can allow for the participation of the previously disadvantaged individuals in this particular space. We also need to develop a comprehensive integrated energy plan to provide an inclusive energy plan for the country. The finalization of the IRP2, particularly with focus on the nuclear energy expansion program. The other thing is the strengthening of our regulatory bodies, especially NERSA and NNR, supporting ESCOM and government in its first program, attaining universal access by 2012 and 2014, like we indicated, that unfortunately for us to realize the universal access for all households by 2012, we need to do a thorough investigation this year on our capacity as a department to deliver on that particular mandate, but also our capacity as a country to make it possible that by 2014 we've got universal access across the board. We also need to intensify, like I indicated, our energy efficiency campaign and decide that we demand self-management. We also would be taking through Parliament in this year the Electricity Regulation Act as a second amendment bill, as well as the independent systems of a market operator bill. So we know that the department will, for lack of a better word, say, but I'm going with that card. So every now and then they will be before the committee because they have to come and present this particular bill to you. One of the key areas that we want to also focus on, Chairperson, on the Electricity Regulation Act, is the issue related to electricity theft. You would know that through the media we have seen how people have done illegal connections and could justify why they are going to continue with illegal connections, especially with the increasing of the tariff. But I just want to indicate that the other big challenge that we have is in the judicial system, where electricity theft is not regarded as economic sabotage or even a heavy weight so as to be able to justify a conviction. I believe that this year, Chairperson, is going to be a short year and a busy year, and it means that all of us will then have to be able to make it possible that we can respond appropriately. Without wasting time, Chairperson, I believe that the DC would make further input in relation to the actual details of what the department will be doing.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Minister. I don't like to interpret what she said. She said it was eloquent. We hope that all what the minister said was expressed by another member. I look at myself to get an answer to that. I'm here to the opportunity to do as well.
I'm here
to give the member of the PC. Okay. In terms of the program, we are supposed now to move to the next step in the session, which is by the Director General, who named him. Thank you very much. Chairperson, Member of the Portfolio Committee, colleagues from the SOEs,
department. Thank you very much. Can I request that to put up the last bit? Thank you very much. This is going to be the structure of the presentation. I'm going to cover the issues at quite high level, issues that indicate what informs our strategic plan, and a broad brush on the various programs that are going to be presented by my colleagues later on, and then I will close. Now, if you go to the presentation, the big question was, what informs our strategic plan? So we have to look at the number of issues that inform our strategic plan. That includes, among others, the government priorities. I'll go point by point in detail what are we referring to. The State of the Nation address by the President of the Republic. The National Budget vote speech by Minister Gordon. And also the issues that came from Minister Peter's budget vote speech last year. And also the issues on the 2010 cabinet, the social revolution, cluster priorities, and also sector specific challenges. So all these issues are going to be the issues that inform our strategic plan. And coincidentally, all those issues, there is a resonance, or rather a thread going through all of them, which is, in short, energy security. Now, if I can just go into detail on the government priorities. Chairperson, Minister, and members of the Portfolio Committee will remember that government adopted the following priorities, which include creation of decent work and sustainable livelihoods, education, health, rural development, food security, and land reform, the fight against crime and corruption. And again, members will realize that in each and every one of those government priorities, energy is key. It's actually an enabler to make sure that those government priorities are actually able to be achieved. So hence, therefore, it's important for us to make sure that that forms part of, informs our strategic plan. On the issue of the State of the Nation address, the State of the Nation address was quite instructive in this regard. Members will remember that almost each and every analysis of the State of the Nation address is always make sure that it includes the issues on energy. And just to paraphrase, as much as Minister has already indicated, to paraphrase these issues, the issue that was raised in the State of the Nation address was the clear government spending on public investment, of which more than half of that goes towards the energy infrastructure. And also, it also refers to the establishment of the Interministerial Committee on Energy to develop a 20-year integrated resource plan. It also refers to the participation of independent power producers and protection of the poor from rising electricity prices, and the establishment of the independent system and market operator, so independent from ESCOM. And members will recall that Minister indicated that this interministerial team is Minister's exercise oversight, but as departmental officials, we have got a number of working groups that go into detail on this work. And those working groups include economic impact of the recent NAFTA decision. Basically, this work group looks at what is going to be the impact on the economy of the tariff increases, and also to look at how elastic or how flexible is the demand for electricity in its response towards the increasing tariff. And also, we also have one on protecting the poor, which looks at various options to try and cushion the poor against not just electricity, but rising energy prices. We have got a working group that looks at the country plan. Okay, this way, country plan, integrated resource plan, energy needs, we're always going to use them interchangeably. But basically, they need one thing. We need, for the electricity industry, a long-term
sustainable energy electricity plan that talks to our aspirations, among others, climate change. And also, of course, there is one on the network and sustainability and EDI restructuring. There is an appreciation from the interministerial committee that you cannot deal with the issues of the supply without dealing with the issues of the demand, or rather, how the or how the supply is going to be conveyed into the demand. So the issue of the restructuring of electricity is also key. And by June this year, the plan is government needs to have a clear plan on which direction the restructuring of this industry is going. And of course, there is one on the independent power producer participation and the establishment of the independent system and market operator separate from ESCOM. And then there is another work group that is looking at the demand side management and energy efficiency. And also one that is looking at the strategic equity partner for Wusile. As members of the call, part of the tariff was that ESCOM will find a strategic equity partner for Wusile. And of course, the nuclear expansion program. This person could look at what is going to be the procurement processes, what is going to be the best way to ensure procurement in this regard. And there is one on coal haulage and logistics. Members will also remember that when it comes to electricity, the coal haulage becomes part of the tariff. So therefore, that area needs to be clearly articulated and clearly defined in order to make sure that at the end of the day, we don't have blackout days on the fact that we're unable to bring coal to the power plant. And finally, the renewable energy program. The renewable energy program is looking at a whole number of programs that we're looking at in line with the accord in Copenhagen. Then, on the national budget vote speech, Minister Gordon indicated that the climate change issues and global energy supplies are going to play quite a crucial role. What is this? While there was not a lot of expansion on this point, but it became very clear that for the economy of this country, adequate energy supply is going to be quite key. And also spoke to the protection of the poor from rising cost of electricity, and also large public sector investment. Those are all the issues that are informing our strategic plan. And then, of course, Minister Peters made a budget vote speech on the 22nd of June last year. And she mentioned a number of issues that need to be taken care of. If I can just indicate that the dates that have been put there indicate at least when is going to be the plan in place for each and every item that is in the For example, national strategic stock policy. That doesn't mean that we're going to complete it on the 31st of March, but it simply means that come 31st of March we have a plan and a program and a gap chart on when I'm going to complete this. And also the development of integrated energy plan. And she mentioned that we are going to review the fuel standards and certification. She also indicated that we are going to establish formally the South African National Energy Development Institute. She also indicated that we are going to review the liquid fuel charter. She indicated that we are going to establish the National Radioactive Waste Disposal Unit. She mentioned that we are going to convert the Safari reactor from using highly enriched uranium to low-enriched uranium by NEXA, and I must say that in this regard, NEXA actually deserve an applause because they actually achieved that all ahead of schedule. And then also the promotion of the energy mix in the as I mentioned, the independence of power producers. The rollout of 1 million solar water heaters in households and commercial buildings over a period of 5 years. Also, there were issues that were raised around the formalization of engagement with the Clinton Foundation to facilitate the development of an industrial energy park concept focusing on concentrated solar power. She also mentioned that we are going to commission 400 megawatts of wind power
through the independent corporate leader over the next 3 years. And also we are going to be directing or publishing the East African Development Plan for the country. He also mentioned that we are going to displace at least 2% of crude oil-based fuels with biofuels over a 5-year period. He also indicated that we are going to have an appropriate pricing policy framework to structure our tariff regime such that the Indian section of our communities are insulated from increasing electricity tariffs. And this NERPA also took into consideration when they were considering their multi-year price designation, and that was seen with the debt tariff. She indicated that we are going to launch rural electrification projects at Ekmalbo, by September, Mshondro, and they were also going to make sure that we invest in Krizani and other zones with this municipality. So basically, these are the issues that also were included as part of our strategic plan. And then in terms of the general Yehudla resolution, there are a number of issues also that were raised, amongst others, the integrated infrastructure plan, the implementation of the industrial policy. I might also indicate to members again that in terms of our energy plan, this is taken from the industrial policy. The industrial policy guides on the intensity of our energy plan. I'll give you a practical example. If our industrial policy says that we need to beneficiate our minerals locally, that simply means that our energy intensity is going to increase. Therefore, we need therefore to tailor-make our supply to meet the needs of our plan. And of course, at the cabinet report, the issue of the 2010 World Cup was raised quite sharply, and we therefore need to make sure then that there are no interruptions both in liquid fuels and also in electricity. And in this regard, we do have a task team on liquid fuels that monitors the work that needs to be done by the oil industry. We have also assisted the oil industry to facilitate to ensure that they do have what I call it a competition exemption to make sure that they were able to get together. So and then in terms of after all that has been said, after all that has been said, after all that has been said, the issue now was, what are the objectives of the energy sector complex? So in terms of the objectives of the energy sector, we have to say, all the things that have been said, are they in line with the objectives of the energy sector? So let's go back and reaffirm if we are doing the right thing with the objectives as outlined in the white paper, and they are listed as shown. Now, in terms of having said that, so we have to go and say, now, what are we going to do in terms of our departmental strategic plan? So in terms of our strategic plan, our mandate and mission. We said our mandate, therefore, based on all those issues that we have outlined, our mandate, therefore, will be to ensure secure and sustainable provision of energy for socio-economic development. That is our mandate. And then we said our mission will be then to regulate and transform the sector for the provision of secure, sustainable and affordable energy. And then we had what we call Vision 2010. So in other words, what are the things we need to that need to happen during the 2010-2011 financial year? It's going to be a transformed and sustainable energy sector with universal access to modern energy carriers for all by 2010. Now, if I can just indicate members that when you do a vision, usually we don't bother whether we're going to get the money or not. And then later on, once you look at your resources, then you start reviewing what needs to be done. So obviously, we are going to be talking later and see whether
the resources that we have for vision. And then we said vision 2025, we need to improve our energy mix by having at least 30% of clean energy by 2025. When I say clean energy, I'm referring to low carbon energy. So in other words, that is a combination of renewable energy and other energy sources that are low carbon but might not necessarily be renewable. So in terms of our strategic objectives, they're basically aligned to the objectives of the energy sector, which includes, amongst others, energy security, achieving universal access, regulating the sector, effective and efficient services, service delivery, optimal utilization of energy resources, enhancing global culture, systems and people, and promote corporate governance. Now, where do we find ourselves as the department, as the state? In terms of our organizational environment, we have a situation where we have to split our budget between ourselves and the Department of Mineral Resources, specifically for support services. And as members are quite aware, the Department of Mineral Resources has always been a bigger department because of the bigger needs at the time, which included, amongst other issues, the regulation and of the mineral resources sector. And what we are also finding ourselves in a situation where our budget is not as what we have prepared to see in terms of establishing a new department. So we need therefore to work a lot smarter and also make sure that we empower our people a lot better to make sure that we still achieve all those issues that need to be achieved. And also in that regard, we have requested our SOE to assist us with the setting up of the new department. So I can just indicate that some of the SOEs that have been very, very helpful to us, amongst others, have been the Department of, EDR Holdings has been very helpful to us, and they have also seconded people, and Dr. Adam has indicated that he's going to be seconding people also, especially in our IT department, which is highly appreciated. And then, of course, then our first phase of capacitating DOE, which included making and placing, has been completed. Okay, the second phase then will be to fill in an advertised post, as we are already going to be doing this before the end of this month. And of course, then there is an opportunity for additional capacity during the midterm adjustment on the year. And also, we are looking now for trying to make sure that we increase capacity in the various large functions to make sure that we are able to achieve what we have set ourselves to achieve. That is within the organization environment. However, my colleagues at administration are going to go into detail on what is going to happen in this environment. And then in terms of the legislative framework for this year, which obviously we're requesting the portfolio committee to assist us in this regard, will be on the EDR structuring area. As I've already indicated, we are hoping that at least by June this year, there will be a clear direction on what is going to happen with regards to the restructuring of the electricity sector. That will facilitate for us, I think we're being optimistic that things are going to go the way we prefer them to go, so then therefore we'll be able then to table the red establishment deal after the decision has been made. And also we're looking at the electricity regulation amendment deal. At the moment, we are looking at for it to deal with the issue of appropriation for land for electricity infrastructure and the provision of the establishment of the ISMO. Okay, and then of course we're looking at the new regulations to
enable the ITP to have a level playing field in the electricity sector. Okay, on the petroleum area, we're looking at the Petroleum Products Amendment Act to address non-compliance in the electricity sector. But also, there are a number of policy issues that we need to deal that assembly believes need to be dealt with. They might not need legislation, but they need to be considered. Issues on the liquid fuel infrastructure. At the moment, we're talking about a constrained environment in terms of infrastructure for the liquid fuel infrastructure. And that will mean dealing with the issue of our ports, dealing with the issue of the rail network and its reliability, the issue of our refinery sector. In other words, I'm sure members have been seeing a lot of discussions in the papers around the issue of refineries. We need to have the finality on that issue. But also the issue around the fuel specification. Therefore, we need to make sure that we deal with all those issues quite aggressively. And then the next issue that needs to be dealt with is the National Energy Act of 2008. Because there are a number of provisions that empower the minister to do certain things. However, we need to develop regulations in this regard. And then, of course, the issues of the fuel specification regulation, as I've already indicated. Chairperson, I think that's basically the overview, as we see, is of the strategic plan. However, my colleagues, as I mentioned, are going to go into detail for each and every program on what is going to be needed in the strategic plan. I thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Director. We thought that then if we can zoom in into the program one, after this, and then we'll take a break and then we'll get deliberations in order to have time to gather the input. I'm not sure whether you want to ask anything else. Can we close up all the questions for sure that were there from this presentation? Unless each member would like, but I think it's better if you follow the answer from the conversation because we have seen things that are going to be presented. Is that okay? Okay. Can you guys have
Thank you, Chair. Minister, honorable members, our colleagues from the SOE and our colleagues from DME. I think my first presentation at this stage is going to be very short because it's just looking at the high level focus areas for the support services function. And then Mr. Mooney will come immediately after that and take the members through the construction process or the street process, how far we are, what is still outstanding, if anything outstanding, and what our plan goes for. Chairperson, the minister made a very interesting comment earlier. He said he's got with her a building block of clean energy. And I think for support services in that regard, we've got two functions that we had to perform over the past couple of months. First of all, to design the structure with the blocks that have been provided to us, as well as also enhance that project in terms of providing the cement around the project, that is the same structure that is going to be operational going forward. Presenting a strong base in terms of the activities. So what we've done over the past couple of months, we've said and we looked at what land function is armed for. In other words, what are the structures, what they expect to operate. We came up with four branches which address the energy operations of the Department of Energy. The first one was the policy development branch. The second was the energy operational services. The third was the nuclear energy branch and last integrated energy planning. All of the four main structures which have been identified. For us to be able to support that, we've looked at the support services, learning from what the most can step up of the ESE, and then look at how best we can apply that and enhance the performance of the project. We have, at this stage,
identify three branches that we could address in the corporate services or the support services, which is firstly the corporate services branch, addressing the HR, the legal, the auxiliary services, all the services. And then the next branch is the CFO's office, which is addressing the finance section, the IT section, together with the supply chain. And then lastly, of course, would be the new branch that is introduced in the department, which is now the office of the chief operations officer, which is dealing mostly with the areas of risk management, strategic planning, the monitoring and evaluation, SOE oversight, those kinds of functions. So that is the high-level structure that we have to define. I think the main focus areas for tech background on us members, the main focus areas for support services for the 2010-11, probably into the next year, are going to be based mostly on the establishing of the new department, providing a department that the clean energy can be able to work within, setting up of operational structure. We've gone through that already. The structure is implemented to the PSA. We're just awaiting for the consultation from the Minister of the PSA. Capacitating, Mr. Moni will take us through the details of how we'll pay for capacitating the department, starting with the support services and going into the life function, and of course the provision of the mental skills. The other areas we're looking at for the next year will be setting up of government structures. Those are compliance structures in terms of legislation, as well as compliance structures that are in terms of good corporate governance. Looking at the internal audit function, the audit committee, the risk management, the self-regulation structures, the procurement, finance committee, all those structures have to be set up within the first quarter of the financial year. Some of them have to be set up by the first of April. And the process of a whole list of all those things, what needs to happen on the first quarter, April has been. Has been done and not exactly what needs to be done after the paper. One of the other things we're looking at this year is the issue of the review of the international agreement. Minister has, throughout said we need to look at our relationship, our international relationship. So we've already started the process of reviewing what we already have coming from the DFE, and then from there we'll be able to say what we need to add and the way going forward. Continuing on our focus area for this year as well, look at our communication strategy. How to profile the Department of Energy as the country's energy, as the country's custodian of our energy security. Looking at the policies that will be in the internal processes and our relationships, of course, with the energy sector. The next one is the strengthening of our SOE oversight function. Improving our internal processes of the oversight, alignment, and also the capacity within the department itself to provide that SOE oversight. It's one of the areas where we've been, as part of the speech, where we have lost some of the resources because of the speech to DMR, so we need to start building our own team to work on that. Lastly, on the finance area, we need to comply with financial legislation from day one. In other words, in terms of our plans going forward, we have identified what we need to do come day one, come first of April. What we do, we've already been provided with the two votes for the two departments, the MR has got its own vote, we've got our own vote, we've got our own budget, so everything has to be, so come day one. Financial compliance needs to be put in place. You need to know that come day one, if you want to buy anything, what do you do, where do you go? Addressing things like delegation of power from the DG, who does it delegate the power to, who is supposed to be doing what. So all of those things are happening right now as we speak within the department. If they come day one, everything runs smoothly. One of the responsibilities we have as support services is the oversight over the SOE reporting to the Minister of Energy. We've separated those two honest members into three areas. We've got our regulator, which is the National Energy Regulator, NERSA. responsible for issuing of licenses, setting and approving health and practice, monitoring and enforcing compliance with license conditions. And then we've got our nuclear regulator, the NNR, which of course regulates the investment in the nuclear sector, protect persons and property and environment against nuclear damage. And then within our FOEs also we have unfortunately, one of the things that we have to start working on Dr. Adams on our IT, because we had this thing last night where we put up a slide and then all of a sudden just disappeared and we should not have the other. But anyway, CBI all you just for the refractor and stop existing electricity entities into financially viable regional electricity. And of course the next one is the research and development, which is the Momenta, as well as the CERP group. So that is the target of the mission for it, what we need to focus on and support the business going forward. I think what is important for us today is to take the committee on the committee progress on the sleep of the department, because if that process is not strong enough, the operation of non-function is going to be affected. So our focus then this morning is just on what progress has been made, where are we going, and how far we have come in terms of establishing the Department of Energy. Okay.
Good morning. Again, my colleagues, as well as members from our agencies. What I'm going to present today is an update on the state process. The presentation, I will deal with the organizational scope and review, processes, change management and communication processes, the human resources audit, the labor relations, as well as legal services. Now, other workflow processes will be dealt with by the Office of the CFO, because it's going to fall within the area of interest from the field. I must indicate that the chairperson has been a process, well, more than a process. But we've learned quite a number of lessons. And we also shared good practices with a number of government partners. And I must say that because of the commitment of the Western leader, we've met all deadlines of the department of members and energy in relation to the state process. Chairperson, you remember that the president during May month made an announcement, on the macro reorganization of the state. And the national macro reorganization committee was established, and it was chaired by DPSA and all government departments that are affected by this macro reorganization process. We're required to make a presentation on progress made in as far as the announcement by the president. What we've done internally, we have established, various workstreams that have indicated earlier on. And we also established an internal steering committee for the state of the department. And the level at which we have pitched our leadership on the Western team is director and upward. We have come up with a consolidated transitional plan, that was guiding the whole process of strength. And on a bi-weekly basis, we were required to present a progress report, a union partner, you know, our Western responsibilities are concerned. I'll first deal with the organizational scoping and review processes. I must say that we have finalized the functional analysis of the functions as displayed. This was a very unique process because many of the major functions and entities, you know, had to go to a new department of mineral resources, and energy related functions had to go to a new department of energy. Our challenge was a support system, but an arrangement was agreed upon that support service components will provide a shared service until the 31st of March. At 2010. That is at the end of the financial year, because the DMR was identified as the hosting department, and in terms of accounting processes, the DGO of DMR will be required to account for what has happened during this financial year. And determination that was obtained from the Minister of Public Service and Administration was implemented accordingly, and I must say that the departmental structure has been designed and approved by both executive authorities. I am saying departmental structure because I'm also referring to the Department of DMR here, because as opposed to the current services in department. But in as far as the concurrence of the Minister of Public Service and Administration is concerned, we have embarked on a consultation process, and we are still awaiting that concurrence. But anyway, we are continuing with the implementation of both structures. The allocation of funding initially was a bit of a challenge, and we are required to identify the critical positions that are necessary for the setting up of the new Department of Energy. But I must say, off late, it seems things are going very well, because we filled all the critical positions, and in addition to those positions that are necessary, is also prepared. And we've also managed to advertise, you know, a position like, the chief financial officer, you know, and other relevant positions that are necessary for the establishment of the Minister of Defense. Hence the DDG was saying, come first of April, the intention is to ensure that we comply, you know, to the Thursday with the positions of the public financial. All new positions in support services have been job evaluated and profiled. And in as far as the change and communication workstream problem is concerned, change management and communication strategy was developed and approved by the steering committee, and it was also implemented through the following: the issuing of a communique on the decision taken with respect to the speed of the department. We've conducted workshops at all regional offices and head office, and I must indicate that the staff members within both departments were really looking forward to the speed of the department, because some of the members maybe they were intending to get rid of, you know, their principals, and principals maybe were intending to get rid of their subordinates. But I must say everybody was very impressed with the speed of the department. Of course, it's providing a lot of opportunities for growth amongst others. Matching and placement of staff processes. We have ensured that we are abide by the provisions of the Labor Relations Act. We have ensured that whatever we do is sanctioned or approved by the Director General in a formal certification, and both DGs have approved the appointment of the matching and placement committee. And this matching and placement committee is a representative, a representative of members of the senior management as well as representatives from our employer and an employee organization. We've developed the guidelines on matching and placement of employees, and these are finalized at CPP. Chairperson, let me hasten to say, the matching and placement of staff, it is a prerogative of the employer, because with the speed of the department, nobody is losing his job. Hence, the guidelines have to be agreed upon and the employer has to be allowed, you know, space to implement those guidelines as agreed to in the departmental departure. The matching and placement of all employees was finalized last Friday. And what we are doing now, today we will be completing the capturing of data on two separate paper systems, that is for the Department of Energy and the Department of Environmental. But the systems will then be posted on the 23rd of March 2010, and the first test salary run will be done on the 2nd of April 2010. Report will then be generated, and then any anomalies between the bed and HESAP system and interface will be addressed prior to the 15th of April 2010. This is to ensure that all salaries that are being paid on the 15th of April. For persons that are in energy, they will be drawn from the budget of energy. For those that are in GMR, they will be drawn from the budget of GMR. This to avoid, you know, unnecessary audit queries and to comply with the PSMA eligibility. I must say, Mr. Matuda, you can be rest assured, because you did ask me that question and I'm saying, you are going to get it done. And if you don't get it, then that's fine. That doesn't just to proceed with the matching and placement of employees. Because I've indicated that they will already finalize informal matching and placement processes, data, and the capturing of data will be finalized today. We have to obtain the approval of both DGs on the recommendations for matching and placement, and upon approval, formal placement letters shall be issued to affected employees. I'm not saying may, I say shall. And confirmation of acceptance of placement shall be done in writing. And in cases where people are not satisfied with the result of the placement, an appeal process will kick in. And once the matching and placement of staff is finalized, all vacant positions shall be advertised, not later than the 30th of April 2010. We've already commented, particularly for those new positions, which clearly nobody could be placed again. You know, we have to match and place employees because we're trying to avoid a situation where certain individuals are being rendered redundant, and you find that you're sitting with two people in one position. But I don't think we have, you know, those kinds of problems. As we've managed this process very successfully. And after searching of positions, I'll be in line with the department, recruitment, and selection policy. I must also say, Chairperson, that this process will not promote people. People are being placed, on the same level as the position they are currently occupying. And those that want to, you know, to grow will have to run. They will have to apply for position, and in terms of the promotion, the selection, and recruitment policy, they will have to apply, interview, and be identified as position candidates. I must say, as far as the human resources audit is concerned, the proclamation of the split was obtained and implemented according to the indicator, and identification and reflection, you know, of the functions of and post was done, and the new department has been created on the federal system, and what remains, which is still comes from the MR of indicator, because of, you know, it's in the hosting department, is the funding, but that will come to an end at the end of the financial year. The identification of, you know, grouping of HR administrative activities will be finalized on 31st March 2010 and implemented by the 1st of April 2010. This relates to things like service benefits, leave, mental health, subsidies, and I referred to the fact that there will be a child run, you know, early April. Review of the current interim plan, because we have the one that combines both a DMR and DOE, will commence with effect from the 1st of April. This will be for any specific component, and the review of the current interim policy practices and delegation will also commence with effect from the 1st of April. Chapter 1, as far as the labor, the workplace and legal services is concerned, on a continuous basis, we are consulting with employee organizations on the split process and the split process, the standing agenda item of the particular budget chapter meeting. Last week we had one, and we discussed quite a number of issues, and they were all addressed. We've also established a labor relations forum, and we've also signed a collective agreement on the relocation of employees from the old Israeli center at Shabana. And this agreement on the location was also signed in the department as well. The establishment of the DBC structures for both departments is being done in consultation with the DPSSBC, that is the General Public Sectoral Bargaining Chamber, and separate DBC structures will be finalized by the 31st of May 2020. It will appear in a later phase, but remember, with the national placement of staff, we have to identify DBC members that have to be trained and come. The end of May, they should be ready to start work. But for now, the current DBC will continue to render services to both departments. Work on the analysis and determination of legal instruments is ongoing and will be finalized also on the 1st of May 2020. And we'll compile the legal report that will be considered a value, both DBC, not later than the 1st of May 2020. Jefferson, that's all in as far as the fleet is concerned. But I must say that we are confident that come the 1st of April, we'll be heading to the Department of Energy. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.